Coach, why don't you talk about the senior class, 29. You recruited all of them. How special is this class?
I think it's a special group of guys. I mean, obviously it means a lot to me that it's hard to see them, hard to believe that, you know, that this is their last go-around in Memorial Stadium. And it's a special group of guys, you know. I mean, it was a class that, you know, I mean, some of them are fifth-year guys, some are fourth-year guys. And like you say, I recruited them all and brought them here and under some tough, you know, kind of walked into a fairly tough situation, kind of put that class together quickly, you know, in a short amount of time, and I think they've accomplished a lot. It's a tremendous group of kids, not just as football players, but more importantly is kids, how they've represented this program, what they've done off the field as much as what they've done on the field, and it'll be an emotional day, I'm sure, for them, big time.
This is the most fifth-year seniors you've seen on a team before, and how has that helped you having those fifth-year guys around?
Well, you know, we kind of made that decision my first year when I came in that, you know, we redshirted most of them during that first year to, you know, I was trying to get a little bit of a lay of the land of you know, what, you know, building for the future, and I still remember, can't remember what game it was. It might have been Virginia Tech. I remember turning to Compton during his true freshman year and saying, get loose, get ready to go. And I fought the urge to put him in there at that time. And you know, it ended up being the right decision for Will. But, you know, you think back about the amount of times that it was kind of hard to do at that time was to sit them and, you know, not get them out there playing right away. But, you know, we were trying to build something for the future. I think, as it turns out, I think it was the right decision. But it wasn't always easy to do when you look back on it.
When you go back to February 08, you'd been on the job for a month. What did you sell a lot of these recruits that you brought in? What did you sell them? What did you tell them they were going to be getting into?
Into a tremendous, you know, I was selling, you know, what I've always tried to do and what I continue to do is sell this place, the university, what it represents, the something that's, to me, it goes, you know, that goes way beyond football and way well beyond wins and losses. You know, one thing I can say that I've learned, and I think the one thing that kind of got Coach Osborne and I on the same page right from day one was, you know, being in this for something that's much bigger than football. It's about preparing kids for the rest of their life. It's about the, about not about just winning or playing the games, about how you do things, how you go about it. And, you know, I'm like I said, I've said it before, I'm proud of how, where this program is. And, you know, a lot of people, sometimes people might not agree on how I do it, or, You know, you read about your demeanor or whatever, how you are in the sideline. But one thing you can't argue is there's tremendous discipline in this program. Our kids, I believe, represent this program with class, with character, and I'm proud of who they are and what they're becoming. And I believe that if you go through this program, and that goes well beyond me, understand that. Well beyond my staff. I'm talking about the Dennis LeBlancs of the world, Keith Zimmers, Coach Osborne, everybody on the third floor, and everybody that's associated with this program, I believe, is in it for the student athlete. And that's rare in this day's athletics, in my opinion.
Well, half of the senior class is from Nebraska. When you came in, did you think, I've got to recruit here and get some walk-ons here? What was your thought?
Well, the walk-on program had taken a big-time hit at that time. You know, obviously I leaned on Coach Osborne big time when I first took over, and we talked about kind of where the program was, what needed to happen going forward, how important a walk-on program was. We made a concerted effort and continue to make sure that we, you know, even if we're not getting a tremendous amount, you know, in numbers of scholarship guys, that this state is well represented. And let me tell you, the walk-ons that have been in this program have represented this state very well, and have done a tremendous job of contributing, and are a huge part of our program. You know, I mean, I was just talking about it with Chris Spielman the other day, and the longer you're around it, number one, you realize you become much more, you become a lot more appreciative of the necessity of it here and the uniqueness of it. And, you know, I think it would be hard, and this goes all the way back to probably Coach Devaney, but obviously Coach Osborne and Coach Solich, of the understanding the importance of it and how to use it. And I'll be honest with you, coming in, I didn't quite understand how it would all work over time and how to make the best use of it. And you kind of learn, you grow with it, and you realize how important it is to your program. And to me, you know, I've come to really understand how important it is to the people of this state and to the fans. I think it gives you a big time edge. And an edge that we need to use, because I don't know if somebody else in a different state could copy the formula and make it work in another state. It's different here, and it's hard to explain, but it just is. You have kids more willing to bypass maybe money someplace else, or an opportunity to be on scholarship, or whatever the situation might be. Every situation's a little bit different. But the families, which to me it goes back to the first and foremost, the families, the mom and dads that are willing to foot the bill for their kids to so they can attack their dream of playing for Nebraska. And that's unique. That, trust me when I tell you, that doesn't happen everywhere. And it's not going to happen everywhere. And I'm sure Coach O'Brien over at Penn State, with the sanctions they're going to run into, or you look over across the country over at USC, I'm sure they're talking about the importance of maybe getting the walk-ons. But, you know, having that and actually making that happen without the tradition that we have here and the uniqueness of what the case is here in Nebraska, I don't know if you can make that happen someplace else.
Some of those seniors that you have, a number of them, I know Compton for sure was committed to the other class, to the other coaching staff, and then you had to kind of re-recruit them. As a new coach at that time, like for instance with Compton, I mean, how did you go about trying to make sure that he stayed there?
Well, one thing I've never done, when I've recruited is, we don't make any promises. We just, we try and obviously sell the people aspect of it. Obviously, the great things that this university has to offer, football-wise, educationally, culturally, sell the city of Lincoln, the state of Nebraska. And we don't make any false promises we sell, what I believe makes this state and the people in this state what it is. We sell an opportunity. And you're going to get what you earn. And we're pretty black and white and very, try to be as honest as can be when we recruit young men. And like I said, we want to first and foremost get guys that fit our culture and fit our, I look at a guy like Timmy Marlowe. I don't know if anybody knows this. I think that the only other offer Tim got, I knew who he was. I knew what he represented as a human being, what I thought he could bring to our football program. I think he's obviously played really good football, represented himself well, but I think the only other offer he had at the time was books at Youngstown State. And when we took I knew a lot about him, took a chance on him, and to my mind wasn't really taking a chance, was taking a good football player, but a better competitor and a tremendous human being. And that's all part of it. That's all part of what you do in recruiting.
Amanda, do you think Rex wants to get out there for his senior day?
Well, I'm sure Rex, I know he wants, obviously, I think it kills him every week. That's just who he is. He's a tremendous competitor, but, I haven't gotten involved in that situation. I'm not going to get involved in that situation. That's something that, you know, the number one thing for me is that we're doing the right thing for Rex, not only in the next 5 days, but for the next, for long term. And, you know, when he's right, when he feels like he's ready to go, believe me, I'll be the first one to stand on the table and say, let's go, let's go. But that's got to come from him, and you know, he knows his body, and we have the best medical staff going. So when the time's right, then they'll tell me, and we'll play him.
When you weigh how dealing with Rex, I mean, he's projected to play on the next level.
Absolutely.
I mean, how much, when you and your people are looking at how he's going to get back on the field here, how much do you weigh that into the equation? Just what might lie for him down the road?
Well, you know, first of all, his injury isn't anything that's going to affect him long term. I mean, it's not a long term injury. That's not, it's just one of those nagging injuries where it's bothersome, you know, where he doesn't feel quite right. And when you don't feel quite right, you're not going to be able to play the way you want to play anyway. And, you know, he tweaked it a couple times and got it, you know, kind of re-injured it, right, or really kind of went back to step one, didn't hurt it anymore. And I don't think he was ever in danger of hurting it anymore. But it just becomes, after it happens, after it occurs once, reoccurs one time, that's one thing. When it reoccurs the second time, you know, we sat down and made decision that let's wait till it's 100%. And you're not feeling anything. You're feeling there's nothing. You have no issues whatsoever. Does that mean it couldn't happen again? No. I mean, it's football. It's athletics. But, you know, we just kind of, I don't think we would do anything different through the whole thing. But, you know, the situation is what it is.
Amir carried it 31 times. Is that more than you expected he'd get going in? And how's he holding up at this point?
Yeah, he's feeling great. And, you know, I was a little bit surprised by the number when I saw it. And, you know, because, you know, I saw Amani in there. We had Braylon in there. And, some of those just happened. Some of those carries, you know, you kind of get off track a little bit because we were going at a pretty quick tempo. We'd run 2, 3, 4 tosses in a row a couple times. And, you know, sometimes those carries can add up a little bit quicker. And it doesn't seem like he's having as many carries as maybe he had, but he came out of the game feeling great, and he feels great today.
Are you guys giving Taylor Martinez more of a green light to run the way he ran in 2010 versus last
week? No, I mean, I try to tell Taylor is protect yourself, be smart. I think he's matured as a runner, too. I think he understands. Like, you saw him the other day when he's dropped his shoulder to get a first down. I think he understands when to and when not to. When to play himself open for a hit and when not to. And that comes with experience and maturity. And there are times when, you know, he's going, and I've seen him run out of bounds. I know this. He's not going to run out of bounds, unless he just, you know, doesn't see the sticks or something like that happen. When he understands it's third down and we got to get a first down, he'll run differently than if he's in the open field and he has three guys barreling down on him on the sideline. He's going to get out of bounds. I think he just has a lot better understanding of when to and when not to.
What do you think it says about Rex not getting to play? You know, instead of getting to down, he's on the sideline, continuing to be a leader and helping Amir and
Amon. Let me tell you, even though Rex hasn't played, you know, over the last month or so, whatever it's been, you know, he's a huge part of this football team in every way. And that's just who he is. He's a tremendous leader and a presence. And he does everything he can to help the other guys and bring the other guys along, help Amir, help Braylon, help Amani. And that's just who he is.
You said the player leadership has been as good as it's been since you've been here. When did you see that out of this group? And are there moments in the offseason or examples where you saw things that you thought we've taken a step in that direction?
Well, you know, I think our guy, you know, we talked about it coming out of the game last year. I think I spoke at it at length of talking about how the accountability needs to go up across the board, the attention to detail, all the things that I think that, you know, that lend you to being a better football team. And, you know, our guys did a lot of things. They did a lot of things on their own in the offseason as far as taking the older guys, teaching the younger guys, spending time doing things that, you know, doing a little bit extra. And that, you know, that started last winter. You know, we did some leadership training, which I think is big. I think all those things play into the fact that, you know, you're able to overcome some of the things we've overcome in the last month, that you know, you got to have a different mindset. I don't know if we would have been able to do that a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And, you know, that requires mental toughness. It requires a belief in each other, a belief in team. And, you know, I just think back the other day in the locker room at halftime. We're down 14 points, and there was not a sense of panic from anybody. There wasn't. I mean, our guys were as calm as can be, almost to the point where I was taken back as calm they were. And they were just like, okay, let's go. We know what we have to do. Let's go do it. And, you know, they were just into the adjustments, talking about what we needed to do. And it was kind of a business-like approach, which is, from my standpoint, what you like to see.
You guys are 14-4 in November since you became the coach. What do you attribute that to? I think all of those people are confidence, so it's not like you're playing a bunch of SEC opponents, especially the SEC. So what do you attribute that to? That strong finish over the course of 5 years?
I like to think we get better as the season goes on. You know, we stay with the process, and I like to think that we, you know, our kids grow as football players as the season goes on, as we practice. They stay in the process. They don't, you know, it's like I talk to the team about a lot, is you have to, you get to this point of the season, no matter what, you have to overcome human nature to a certain extent. You have to overcome the, you know, everybody who plays this sport is sore, tired, physically, mentally, all the things that go into it. And you got to find a way each and every day to work at it to get better. And that's not easy to do. And, you know, we stress it every day. We don't change our approach much. Maybe pull back on time a little bit here and there. Make sure, you know, we try to be really cognizant of where they are health-wise, legs-wise, and get, you know, so they're in the best shape possible come Saturday. And there's a lot of little things. You know, that's just not physically, but that's mentally. And we don't ignore it. And I, you know, for the most part, the recipe's worked.
Your defense, do you see it mentally grow each year? Get in November, that they sync up with what you want.
I think so. I think you know. I've seen our defense grow as this year has gone on. I mean, and you know, obviously every year you got to make, you know, you make adjustments no matter what. You know, on any phase of the game, offense, defense, special teams, as the year goes on, and I think the players grow. The coaches, you know, you look at the group you're playing with, and hopefully you make the correct adjustments as the year goes on, and I think that's happened. But I, like I said, I still believe there's a whole nother level we can get to, and that's what we're working to do.
In the punt return game, do you ever consider putting two guys back there to not maybe let the ball bounce, or what do you have to weigh when deciding on that?
Absolutely, we've done that a few times, but. You know, sometimes it's, you know, when to and when not to. You know, obviously you leave yourself a lot more open to fakes when you put two guys back there, and you know, so there are pluses and minuses there. You know, it depends on the team of whether they're a roll punt team, and if they are a roll punt team, obviously you know they have fakes off of that. So you just have to you weigh all the possibilities It's not easy. Like the other day, I mean, I thought we were in pretty good shape, and you know, the kid did the one I think is the hardest one to play, but it's also the hardest one to kick, is the roll punt that kicks across the field. There's not a whole heck of a lot you can do about that. Even if you're have two returners back there, that's going to be hard to get your hands on that one.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's weekly press conference on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You get the feeling in the locker room that these guys can taste that title coming their way now?
They understand what's at stake, and, you know, they do. And, you know, we got two tough games ahead of us, you know, just got to stay the course.
What have you seen from Minnesota, just the improvements they've made from a year ago?
Well, I think they're playing pretty good defensively. You know, they play hard. You know, Coach Gill has those guys. They have them believe in playing hard. You know, they're a more physical football team, I think, than they were a year ago, and they're better, you know, which you'd expect. And, you know, more time under Coach Gill and his staff, and you've seen the improvement, and you got to give them a lot of credit. They're a good football team.
Do you have enough tape on their new quarterback, their third one, to have a sense of what he's good at?
4 games worth, and... You know, they haven't changed the offense a lot. Obviously, he might have a different style than the old guy. But, you know, he's going to be a good player in time. You know, he does some good things. He has a good arm, makes quick decisions, and they're playing well around him.
Coach, you said on Saturday there's a lot still out there for this team. What is the next step for these guys, or what do you want to see them progress in this week?
Not get behind by 14 at halftime. That's first. And but you know, I just think that you know, playing great. Like I tell the team all the time, it's not about doing something out of the ordinary. It's doing the ordinary things consistently. Just a higher level of execution, understanding the game plan and executing week in and week out, play in and play out. And, you know, we won the turnover battle the other day. We won the penalty battle. That was big. We talked about that going into the game, but we still put the ball on the ground. We still had the 2 turnovers. It only led to 3 points for them, but obviously our 3 takeaways led to 10 points, which, you know, and it allows you to win the football game. But, you know, we got to clean that aspect of it up, continue to work on cleaning up the penalty area and just being more efficient, much more efficient as the year finishes out.
Now that you're a couple days outside that Penn State game, did that guy get the ball over the goal line or not?
You know, I saw it. You know, first of all, I looked at the TV angle. It was not a good angle. The one angle I did see that was from the goal line, that was actually on the goal line, looked like it was coming out. But I think it was so close. I kind of would go with what I said after the game, was that if they had called it a touchdown, they probably wouldn't have reversed it. And kind of the same, you know, they called it a fumble on the field, and it was too close to reverse it. You know, there was, you know, you... If you looked at the angle they were showing on the TV, it was almost from like the 2-yard line or so. Was it with an angle you really couldn't see it? And the one picture I did see, it was like right behind. It was actually just inside of where the referee's head was. It looked like the ball was coming out, but it was so close, too close to tell.
Looking at the senior class, obviously you've taught them a lot, but what have they taught you, or what have you learned from this group of guys?
I learn a lot from these kids, and you know, and hopefully they've learned a lot during their time here. And they've had to put up with me for 4 and 5 years, we're not easy on them. We're demanding, hold them to high standards every single day, and just the way they've grown as football players, I've learned a lot. I've made a lot of mistakes along the way as a head coach during their time here. I think I've grown a lot as a head coach. Same way they're still in progress of trying to be the best football players they can be, I'm still learning as a head coach and trying to be the best coach I can be. And we've done that together. I think we have a pretty strong relationship. We believe in each other. it's been an honor to coach these kids because I love each and every one of them.
Do you ask for more feedback from your players than maybe you did earlier in your career?
Absolutely. You know, especially these guys that have been around me for a number of years. You know, it's a different time in the program when I came in. You know, now, you know, it's a lot has changed.
You mentioned you guys don't make false promises, and I know the players have said that as well. Is that kind of becoming a rarity in college football?
You know what? I don't know. I don't really know how other people go about it. You know, the recruiting process has become interesting, to say the least. And everybody has their different approach on it, their different philosophy on how to go about it. And I don't know other minds write better than anybody else's, but it's you know, what I believe works here at Nebraska and for our program.
Anything else for Coach? You go from a team that needed to win 6 to now a team that's probably expected to win the final 2. Do you expect any change amongst the guys in terms of the expectations on?
Absolutely not. I know this, you know, we're going to get what we earn over the next 2 weeks. There's going to be nobody, you know, whether people expect us to or don't expect us to, I know what we got to expect. And we got to expect to try and get better each and every day and be ready for the challenges that lie ahead. And it's not going to be easy. It never is.
Thanks,
guys.